It's time for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven.
Vodka.
Yeah.
Don't give me vodka.
Give me lots of vodka.
This is the second week in a row where we're doing spirits to start the show.
Hello, Arthur.
When it's 27 degrees out, you understand why Russians drink
vodka.
Vodka. But here in Brooklyn, I'm not sure why the Russians drink a lot of vodka. It's not 27 degrees. You know, I go to these restaurants here in Brooklyn that cater to the Russian community, they're all BYO. Because the Russians want to bring their own vodka. In fact, there's an Azerbaijani restaurant, you know, former Soviet Union. It's a very interesting place for many reasons, but one is it's a mix of Azerbaijani food and a few Russian dishes, because most of the customers, not all, but most of the customers are Russians, and it's attached to a liquor store, which has the largest selection of vodka I have ever seen in my life. I don't know what half these brands are. There's a lot. I mean, for booze, it all tastes the same to me. It's all about image, I guess.
Where is it?
It's on Coney Island Avenue and Avenue P, as in Peter. And it's across the street. I've talked about this place, I'm sure.
Because
it's called Village Cafe. It looks like a dilapidated diner at the back of a parking lot. And so you can't even see it from the street. You got to walk up to this parking lot and to the back. And it's been there for years. I don't know how long, actually. I should ask one of these days. And it's across the street from the Turkish restaurant I've been going to for over 20 years. Well, 25 years. And I never thought to go in here because I thought it was just a diner until a friend told me, no, it's an Azerbaijani restaurant. And they have some very unusual and very delicious food. So, anyway, how did I get to there?
Vodka.
Vodka, Smirnoff.
No, vodka. That's Bob singing vodka. So, anyway, I've been sick since we spoke last Monday. Actually, I woke up last Monday with a terrible stomach issue. I'm not even sure what it is. Or was. I'm hoping it was. But so I did not cook much this week, although by Friday I was feeling better. So on Saturday I defrosted this incredible beef broth. I only knew it was incredible after I defrosted it, I got to say, that I had in the freezer, and beef, B-E-E-F, beef broth. Actually, it was beef broth. In today's parlance, I guess you would say it was beef bone broth, because I made it with 4 pounds of beef neck bones. Had I had available in the supermarket, if I'd seen something like marrow bones or veal knuckle or something like that that has a lot of gelatin in it, I would have thrown that into the pot as well. But all I had was beef neck bones. They were on sale. I ended up paying $12 for my 4 pounds. It was $3 a pound for beef neck bones. They were meaty bones, too. So I made beef broth. Now, I have been making French-style onion soup my entire adult life, and maybe even before I was an adult, and I always followed the Julia Child recipe, and I never had... not never, but hardly ever, made it with homemade beef broth. I thought canned beef broth was good enough. But what canned beef broth lacks is gelatin for the texture you want in your beef broth, which gelatin does provide a great mouthfeel, as we say, to the broth. So in the Julia Child recipe from, I guess it's Mastering the Art of French Cooking 1, which I started cooking, I guess, when it came out in like 1960-ish, a long time ago, it calls for a little flour. You make, after you've cooked the onions, and I'll tell you about that in a second, you add some flour and you cook that a little bit, and then you add your broth, and that offers a little texture to the broth. It's not just, you know, watery, so to speak. However, if you have gelatin, you don't need to add flour. And I never really liked the idea of adding the flour, but, you know, Julia told me I should do it, so I did it. And everybody always loves my onion soup, so I never thought to do it differently until I read a little hint somewhere, I don't even know where, that if you're using canned beef broth in a soup, add a packet of unflavored gelatin to, and there's the gelatin that the canned beef broth is lacking, and that would offer you some texture. Anyway, I made beef broth, I don't know, it's got to be a couple months ago, you know, one of those wintry days where I was in the house all day, and it's seemed like a good idea to be simmering broth all day. and here's how I do it. So 4 pounds of beef neck bones or other kinds of meaty bones or meaty bones plus some that are not so meaty but are joints that have gelatin. You put that in a big roasting pan. So for 4 pounds of bones, I would add 1 large carrot chunked up. You don't need to dice it, just chunk it up. A large rib of celery, also cut into several pieces, and an onion, a medium to maybe not so medium, a little larger onion. I just peel it and quarter it and put this in the roasting pan. And you roast these bones and vegetables together for at least at 450, 450 degrees, for at least 40 minutes, if not an hour. In the end, you want everything to be nicely browned, caramelized, to use a current term. And this could take an hour at 450. And toss the bones and vegetables once or twice during that period to check on them. You don't need to add salt or pepper or anything like that at this time. And once the bones and the vegetables are done, put it all into a very large pot. I actually have a legitimate stock pot. And what makes a stock pot is that it's tall and narrow so that you get minimal evaporation as the stock simmers away for hours and hours and hours. But, of course, any large pot will do. Into that pot with the already cooked vegetables, add another carrot chunked up, another rib of celery chunked up, and another onion quartered, and add also a couple of bay leaves. And when I was making my stock, I happened to have some fresh thyme in the house, and I also had, I saved for this stock, actually, I had a big bunch of parsley, and I used the leaves for one thing, and all the stems I made into my so-called bouquet garni, meaning garnish bouquet. It's a bouquet of herbs. So I had parsley stems, bay leaves, thyme. Did I have anything else? No, that was it. That was my herb bouquet.
What do you tie it with, or how do you, just throw it in?
You know, you can just throw it in. Okay. I mean, tying, I have string here, and I did tie it up. It's only so it makes it easier to fish out in the end. But the thing is, you're going to strain this broth. So if you just threw it into the pot, it's okay.
It doesn't matter.
Too.
Okay.
No, it doesn't matter.
Because
but,
you know, I have.
They sell cheesecloth bags to do this with. I think it's a totally unnecessary item.
Yeah. Agree.
Go ahead.
Agree. I just find when I use fresh herbs that sometimes picking them off is,
No, I don't pick them off. You want the stems and everything because it's all going to get fished out in the end anyway.
Gotcha.
So, and certainly, as I say, you're going to strain this in the end so that you'll get out anything, any solids that are in there. So then you cover this with water, well covered. I don't know, maybe could be 5-6 quarts of water. A lot of water. Doesn't matter how much water. A lot of water is okay. Fill the pot with water. And then you let it simmer for hours and hours and hours, which is why you need a day at home. 6 hours is good. 7 hours is better. If you don't mind going to sleep with the light on the stove, on the lowest possible heat, bung, 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 you know, really, really slow simmer, you could let it go overnight. It's a good long time. because you need that length of time to extract all the goodness from bones, including the gelatin. And there's other stuff in the bones that's very healthy. So I wasn't well, and I just want to say before I get to the end of the cooking part of this story, is that I did have some sensational onion soup on Saturday, and miraculously on Sunday I felt hugely better, and today I'm feeling even better, so I'm going to finish off the soup today, and I'm thinking that it's very curative, actually. So the gelatin apparently helps with the lining of your stomach when it's irritated, and I think that's part of my problem. Anyway, so you let this simmer very slowly. Oh, by the way, after you put in the bones, you're going to have some good browned stuff at the bottom of this roasting pan. So pour off any fat that might have accumulated in the pan from the meat. Oh, of course, has some fat on it, the bones. And deglaze that roasting pan with a couple of cups of water, meaning just put it over the roasting pan over some heat on top of the stove, add your two cups or more of water, and scrape around the bottom of that roasting pan to get up all the browned bits and the glaze on the bottom of the pan, which is called in French fond, F-O-N-D. You want to get that all out of the pan and pour it into your stock pot. It's really, really good flavor. And by the way, in the end, you will definitely have a roasted meat flavor. It's like the essence of roast, which is
It's delicious to eat, too.
So let this simmer forever. At the beginning, you're going to want to skim it because you are going to get what we technically call schmutz. Schmutz is Yiddish for dirt. So whatever scum in English.
Schmutz is better.
Schmutz is much better. So you skim off the schmutz. I have a strainer kind of. It's a flat tool, but it's a strainer, and so you can easily get off the foam with that. If you don't have something like that, you know, a slotted spoon will do, because the slots will allow the liquid to fall back in the pot, but the schmutz will stay on the spoon. And I rinse off my spoon as I'm de-schmutzing the. This will go on for about 15, 20 minutes, maybe a half an hour at the most, and then you should be having no schmutz coming to the top, and you just keep letting it simmer. When it's all is over, you want to strain all the big solids out of your broth. I use a colander. You don't need anything more finer than that for the big stuff. And, you know, I press it down a bit to extract whatever goodness is still in those veggies and the meat's going to be all cooked out by now. I mean, you'll read somewhere, save the meat for another use. Well, you could feed it to the dog. You have dogs. They'd love that.
Right.
Depends
on how much onion you use and stuff, by the way.
No, don't do the onion, just the meat. You know, you pick off the meat.
No. It depends on how much onion you cook it with, because dog and onion is not a good mix. The point is just if you're feeding it to the dog, know what you can and can't feed to dogs. That's
well, just the meat.
I understand.
From the bones, yeah. No onions. You think the dogs would be bothered by onion flavor on the meat if there was any?
It really totally depends on how much onion you use. Dog and onion is not a good combination. That's all.
Okay. Whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm not cooking for dogs, so I just suggested that maybe it's a way not to waste the meat. So you, that's it. So now you have a reasonably strained broth, but it's not really fully strained. At this point, I like to refrigerate the broth, because after it's been refrigerated for several hours or overnight, you can skim off very easily the fat that has risen to the top and turned hard. And so skim off all the hard fat on top, and now bring it to a simmer again. And this time you're going to strain it through, I don't use cheesecloth. I have a linen napkin that I have been using for at least 30 years for this purpose. I line a strainer, a fine strainer, with this napkin, rinsed out, of course. It's always clean. And strain the broth through that, and you're going to see a lot of crappy-looking stuff comes into your strainer. Now you're going to have a reasonably clear broth. Taste it. If it doesn't taste strong enough to you, now's the time to cook it down. And I find, I mean, you just put the clear broth in a pot and let it simmer away until it's reduced to the amount you need, want, and taste. And I find that even with like 6 quarts of water, 7 quarts of water, by the time this is all finished, I want to reduce the broth down to no more than like 2.5 quarts. Sometimes you only end up with 3 or 4 quarts. So reduce it down. In the case of the soup that I made the other day, I reduced it down to, I got bored with reducing. So, but I did measure it in the end, and it was 2.5 quarts.
Wow.
So a really gorgeous, rich beef broth, which you could actually drink for its own sake. However, I love onion soup. And here's another thing about recipes you read for onion soup. They tell you to cook the onions for about 20 minutes. Never happens. In 20 minutes, you do not get the dark, rich, caramelized color that you want on those onions. It takes a minimum, I think, of 45 minutes to an hour, actually. And how I do it is, in this case, I used 12 cups of sliced onion. Now, 12 cups of onion would be 12 medium onions, but because I bought this huge bag of very large onions at Costco, I only needed 4 of these very large onions. And I put them in a wide pot this time with literally a stick of butter. I probably didn't need a stick of butter, but I don't know, I was in the mood. So I threw in a stick of butter, my onions, tossed them around in melted butter, covered the pot, put it over medium-low heat, and let the onions steam away in the covered pot for at least 20 minutes, uncovering the pot about halfway and tossing the onions around again, maybe 2 or 3 times even, at the beginning. And when they have just started to brown, and they will, even in a covered pot, uncover the pot and continue cooking for at least another 20 minutes, but could be at least another half hour or more, until the onions are a really deep brown. You do not want to skip this step. This is essential to get the onions really, really brown. And once they are, you add your beef broth and stir it all together. And then you only need to simmer this for maybe 15 minutes together, and you will have the most extraordinary onion soup. You could not get onion soup like this in France. Last time I was in France, which was only about maybe 5-6 years ago, we were so we had onion soup in several places. One was famous for onion soup, and it was terrible because the broth is like water, is terrible, and nobody seems to cook the onions long enough. This soup that I made, besides that it made my belly, which was quite sore, feel a lot better. And I think the gelatin, in part, and other good things that you extract from the bones helped with that. It was really, really delicious. And I have enough left over today so we can have onion soup for lunch today. Now, I didn't make this the way they, you know, the French serve it in the old Les Halles way, which is you take a crock bowl, kind of bowl that you can go in the oven, and you put in bread, should be stale-ish bread, you know, day-old, 3-day-old bread. Pour your soup over it, and then put on top a layer of either grated or very thinly sliced Gruyere cheese. And then you put that in the oven and bake it until, of course, the bread is going to sop up all the broth and be very delicious. And on top, you get a crust of cheese. I didn't do that. First of all, the soup was so good the way it was, I didn't want to mess around. Second of all, I didn't have stale bread in the house. And that was pretty much the only reason. By the way, instead of Gruyere, you could use cheddar. I think cheddar is a great combination here. And being the all-American boy I am, I actually some days prefer cheddar. A good, sharp, well-aged cheddar, not your Velveeta-style cheddar. So there's my onion soup. And today we're not going to have it in the crock with bread and cheese either. As we were eating it the other day, Bob said, you know what would be really good in this? Orzo. I don't know. We're on an orzo kick around here.
Yeah.
So today I'm going to boil up some orzo and put it in the onion soup just to give it a little carbohydrate substance to this.
I have to tell you, Arthur.
Are you putting cheese on it before commercials?
No, but you know what? We had it plain the other day. It was so good we didn't want to doctor it with anything.
Right.
But grated Parmigiano
exactly.
on top is perfect.
With orzo.
You don't have to do a crock with
you don't have to melt
bread,
or anything.
Melted cheese,
exactly.
Yeah.
I have to tell you,
Here's a thought. I do like this. I do like cheese toast with my onion soup. So on the side, I would make a slice of really good bread toast, and I buy very whole grainy bread. I don't eat white bread much these days. And I would toast the bread and then put my cheese, whatever cheese that is, on top and stick it under the broiler for 2 minutes until it's all melted and bubbly. Who doesn't like cheese toast? And it goes great with onion soup. And then you've got a really complete meal. Not that the soup doesn't offer you good nutrition. It does.
I have to
with almost no calories, speaking of which.
Arthur, I have to tell you, the best onion soup that was made for me in the past couple of years was made by Jill Goodman. She spent hours. It seemed like it because I was hungry. She spent what I thought was hours preparing it in the kitchen. And it's very rare that a hungry person waits hours for just a bowl of soup. But it was really, really good. Do you remember that when you made that?
Yeah. Patricia Wells. It was a Patricia Wells recipe from probably Leal or something like that.
Maybe it was in her bistro book.
It was definitely in her bistro book. It took a while.
So what was different about Patricia's than mine?
Started with the onions.
What about onions?
You basically just cooked down. Just masses of onions.
Gotta say, it takes a lot longer to get onions caramelized, not caramelized, than almost anybody is willing to tell you, because you really have to stand over the stove for a good 40 minutes.
And the house reeked for days, so that's...
I don't know. It reeked good.
Yeah, no,
it
reeks.
Didn't reek at
you,
all.
You
I'm
can't
sorry.
Actually say reek when it's good, but I, as a sensitive, the house smelled delicious for days. How about that?
Good. That's better.
Okay.
Yes. Reek is a negative word.
That's right. You can't use reek if it was good.
No. It had a gorgeous aroma.
The house had a gorgeous aroma for
house.
Days. It filled the house. Unfortunately, it might have been... It was autumn. I remember that. It was autumn, and the temperature was up and down.
Excuse me.
So it was done.
Well, it's cold enough now to still think
yep.
soup. Yeah. You're 27 degrees up in Sharon. I don't know what it is here in Brooklyn. Thank God it's not a deep frost here, because last year we had no magnolias, except the late-blooming ones, yellow ones bloomed, but the early blooming magnolias, which were one of the first flowers here, didn't bloom at all last year because it was about this time a deep frost and all the buds got frozen out. But now I see my magnolia tree is about to pop, and it's been about to pop for several days. It's waiting for the first warm day so it can pop. And also the crabapple tree is about to pop too. So it is definitely spring here. It's just a very tentative spring.
Yeah, it's external spring, but it's just cold. It's this cold is really.
I know. Well, yeah.
Oh well.
It's unseasonably cold.
Oh, you could go
so
to work.
I haven't looked at the Farmer's Almanac. It was quite accurate for the winter. I'm wondering what it says for the summer.
I don't know, but I made I got bok choy and I made bok choy soup again.
Well, to say. Speaking, I was craving greens, so I made the big mistake of, I think because I was feeling better, I made the big mistake of eating too many dandelion greens, cooked, of course, but I loved eating them, but the next day my stomach was in a total uproar, and I think bok choy would be, I think any of these high-fiber vegetables are going to wreak havoc on my belly, so I'm not doing that. Last night I had some asparagus, and they were okay. They sat okay.
Okay.
So far, so good. We'll see. Meantime, I'm going back to the...
Go back to the onion, go back to the beef.
High-protein, gelatin, the, onion
right.
soup. By the way, once I cooked down this broth to 2.5 quarts, it was what they used to call, here's an expression you don't hear much, lip-smacking.
Yeah,
because it had so much gelatin in it, natural from the bone,
right.
that you could literally feel the stickiness on your lips as you sip the soup.
Did it congeal? One of my favorite things is congeal.
Yes.
I love that. I just eat that as a sort. It's a little past consommé, but I love that. The jelly.
Yes, oh. I love consommé myself. Cold gelled consommé. So this is actually when I... this is cold gelled onion soup.
Yeah, what could be better? I am on my way.
I should try it. I should try it as a gelatin before I put it in the pot today. It's very healthful. By the way, chicken soup can be the same way. And
yep.
I just read a recipe the other day, which I thought was quite funny, but I'm sure it works. This cook cooked the chicken until it was nicely done, took the chicken out, stripped all the meat off the bones, and put the carcass back in the pot and let that cook for several hours. I'm sure that made a really nice gelatinous chicken broth. Maybe didn't have so much chicken flavor because you didn't cook out the chicken in it, but it certainly had the protein, the gelatin from those bones. So
yeah,
a chicken broth is restorative.
Oh, no question. There have finally been proper study, comically.
Oh, yeah, no. Years and years ago, I remember Mount Sinai Hospital did a study on this chicken soup, appropriate place for them to do that. Chicken soup really cure a cold, and it doesn't cure a cold, but it does get your
immune
everything
system
running
bounce,
so that you can your body can cure itself. And I now think that the protein in the chicken soup, if you look at a can of, by the way, if you look at a can of chicken soup, you'll find it has almost no calories, no nutrition except for protein. So it's like dissolved protein, but not much in canned broth, but in home broth it should be a lot.
Right, and if you ever
anyway,
look at
it's
the back,
very restorative.
If you ever look at the back of Mrs. Beaton's or anything like that, just a older Victorian
and
previous beef tea, cooking for invalids.
Yes, beef tea.
Yeah, but that was all part of the restoring the body and
helping
it heal.
Well, let's hope I'm restoring my stomach because I need my stomach.
Get your stomach
and I don't want to go to the doctor if I can help it. I don't want to go on antibiotics if I can help it.
Oh, that'll help
I'm
your stomach.
Sure
not.
Yeah, that wreaks havoc on me, and
right.
I hate the feeling of antibiotics. So I do think I'm much better today, and I think maybe having some more onion soup later will be helpful too.
Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven from Hathaway Young, located on South Center Street in Millerton. Flawless catering and event planning, HathawayYoung.com. John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467. On the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Grocers on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, Rubiner's.com. In Hillsdale, New York, Hillsdale Home Chef with two beautiful teaching classes, and they've got classes to go in those cooking rooms. More information, 518-325-7000, hghshomechef.com. And Haven Cafe in Lenox, Massachusetts, offering quality food and excellent service. From a fresh cup of great coffee to healthy, delicious breakfast, or sit down with a dinner with a tasty, life-enhancing meal that you can take home. Also, they feature catering. Supporting local organic farmers, environmentally conscious, and epicurious distributors, havencafebakery.com.